Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 7. Actually, I'll go to verse 12 and make a comment or two, but really, verse 12 I'd like to take up in more detail next week. But we'll call it verses 3 to 12. But before we read, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful this evening that you've allowed us another time, one more time, to be able to come together and to hear your word. Lord, calls us to enter in, being blessed by your Holy Spirit, to that which you have to say to us. Speak, we pray, for Christ's sake, cause us to hear. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Let's read verses 7 to 12. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, when we began this chapter, the apostle, by the Spirit of God, instructed God's people to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, that consideration encompasses his deity and his humanity. It's talking about him who is the apostle sent from God, deity. And it's talking about the high priest of our profession, deity, joined with human flesh, who is now ever living to make intercession for us. Now we consider him, observe him, the apostle says. Consider him with weight, in light of God's mercy, that we could even consider him tonight. To think, this is he who has come from heaven, God himself, the Word made flesh, joined to humanity, a body hast thou prepared me. And now, he who intercedes for us, pleading his own merit, his own blood. Now, what was it that we considered? Well, verse 2 told us, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Faithful. Just like last half of verse 2, Moses was faithful in all of his house, not Moses' house, in the Lord's house. Moses was faithful in God's house. Faithfully, he spoke the testimony that the Lord gave him from Mount Sinai. Faithful. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture sets forth, verse 3, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are, the Scripture says, verse 6, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now I want us to look at the Scriptures tonight And I want us to understand one thing. I want to bring something out so I can set forth something and clarify before we even go any farther. That word, if, in verse 6, it is not if we hold fast. There is no possibility that a regenerated sheep can possibly ever be lost. You know that. There is no possibility that those that Almighty God has everlastingly loved, those that the Son hath eternally betrothed Himself to, gave Himself to, united them with Himself, there's no possibility that any of God's people are ever going to be lost. Salvation is by the grace of God. You know that. But that word if, right there, is a word that is placed there by the Spirit of God that we might consider, in light of the Scriptures, whether our profession lines up with God's Word. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody and their brother considers themselves, by and large, to be saved. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And I hear people on television all the time. Everybody's a Christian. Popular to be a Christian. It's not our ability to hold to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that He holds us. We know that. If Almighty God keeps us, it's going to evidence itself in a certain way. So this Scripture that we're getting ready to look at tonight is not set forth to cause God's people to doubt. It's a setting forth of God's standard by which God Almighty sets forth, this is the way My people are. And I'll tell you what a believer will do. As I've said before, believers' spiritual ears, as soon as he hears something like that, his ears will go up. They'll turn it like a horse. They're going to go, I want to hear what the Word of God has got to say. Let me hear what the Spirit says. The Lord Jesus Christ, faithful apostle from God, faithful high priest, counted worthy of more glory and honor. Moses, the Scripture says, faithfully. Moses himself, the law himself, our schoolmaster to drive us to Christ, causes us to cast ourselves upon the mercy of Almighty God. Faithful. So we're considering tonight the issue of faithfulness before God. The Scripture begins in verse 7. And the first word is wherefore. And then there's a parenthesis. And I want you to notice where that parenthesis ends. The end of verse 11. So really, you could read the word wherefore in verse 7 and go right to verse 12 and it would read like this. Wherefore, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now the Spirit of God is going to reveal something. Paul the Apostle is speaking. I believe that's who wrote this. The Apostle is speaking to a group of Jews. And Paul is reminding them of something. And this something is taken by the Spirit of God and it's brought out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11. That's a quote from at verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith, right on down through the end of the 11th chapter. It's a quote out of Psalm 95. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying as the Spirit of God speaks. He said there was a lot of shouting and a lot of rejoicing and a lot of happiness, outward show when Israel came out of Egypt. They were all happy. The Lord had delivered them. But 40 years revealed something that the first day didn't. It was there, but that first day didn't reveal it. The truth of the matter was that many that came out of Egypt were not God's elect. They were not found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and time proved it. Now tonight, the Spirit of God, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, the actual literal of that is, if you hear His voice. If you hear His voice. If you have ears to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Now let me tell you the beauty of that scripture. The Holy Spirit is telling believers. Now, this word can be to those that were there, the Hebrews. It can be here to us. It can be to me, be you. Listen, listen. He's telling those that hear His voice to not do something, that is, harden your hearts. Harden not your hearts. He's telling them to not do something that only God Himself can keep them from doing. Harden not your heart. I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord doesn't do that for me, if God Almighty doesn't keep me, I'm not going to be able to keep myself. Harden not your heart. Just like this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you do that? Not unless Almighty God gives you faith to believe, you can't. Harden not your heart. And a believer immediately will say, Lord, oh, keep me by your grace. Lord, help me. Without you, I can do nothing. We find this expression, hardening the heart. We find that expression often in the Word of God. And for the most part, it's pertaining or it's connected with, actually, spiritual blindness. And unbelief. I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 3. Mark 3. Mark 3. Look in verse 1 to 5. And he entered, Mark 3, verse 1. He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness, well, that word is interpreted the blindness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. A new heart hears the voice of Christ and follows Him. A hard heart, a hardened heart, is that heart of a stony ground hearer that eventually will evidence itself. There are scriptures that ascribe this act of hardening of the heart. Sometimes it's ascribed to the Lord doing it. Turn with me to Exodus 4. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus 4:21. Exodus 4:21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go." Look at chapter 7 of Exodus. Exodus 7:13. "And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go." And then in the New Testament, I want you to turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 12. John 12. John 12, verse 37. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." The Scripture sets forth, and Brother Henry Mahan made a comment on this Scripture, and he said, they would not believe, and they could not believe. Men by nature will not come to Christ, and they cannot come to Christ unless God is pleased in grace to call them, to teach them, to reveal to them His redemptive glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the facts. Almighty God is sovereign. And a man is responsible before God for unbelief. Harden not your heart. If Almighty God withholds light, man has no hope. But listen to me. They would not believe. They would not believe. His ways are not our ways. His ways are far above our ways. Do you know what a believer does right now? He cast himself upon God Almighty and he said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Don't leave me to myself. Almighty God has set forth these Scriptures to cause His people to cast themselves upon His mercy. Oh, that He would show mercy to this frail creature. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now, we realize that that's a command that can only be obeyed by Almighty God giving us a new heart. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't be harsh. Don't be harsh or stubborn or hard against the Lord as your fathers were in the wilderness. That's what He's saying. Don't do it. Don't do it. This attitude, it usually doesn't manifest itself all at one time. They came out and what they did, they began to set forth that they were thankful for that which the Lord had done for them. He said, "Where harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years." Now Israel's rebellion was set forth under two terms. They tempted me. They proved me. Well, I had to look it up. I mean, this is one of those Scriptures that I want to know. I want to know what the Spirit of God is saying. They tempted me. Tempting. to try from an evil motive to manipulate God. Tempted to try from an evil motive. I want you to turn to Matthew 4. I know we're turning a lot, but that's okay. Matthew 4, verse 5 to 7. To tempt, to try from an evil motive to manipulate God. Matthew 4, verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. What disrespect. You that believe. There's no if with you. There's no if with you when it comes to Him being God's Son. Lord, as you say, Lord, you are. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is tempt, to try from an evil motive to manipulate God. You that believe, you know what you're doing? You're bowing. See, when the apostle wrote to these Jews, he was telling them, he said, this is the evidence of an unbeliever. From an evil heart, they'll attempt to manipulate God. What a believer does is they bow. They bow. They bow to God's good providence. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't tempt Him with presumption or with distrust. Don't tempt God by presuming Him to do what you think He should. That's to question His sovereignty. You just sing a song talking about if it's health, or if it's sickness, if it's wealth, if it's poverty. We don't question His goodness, mercy, and grace. Lord, as You have so directed, thank You. A believer would never question God's sovereignty, never question God's providence. Oh, I know the frailty of our flesh. Believe me, I know. But I'll tell you this, a believer's going to bow. They're going to bow. That word doesn't come. His gospel doesn't come in word only. It comes in power and in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. And they follow after. They tempted me. And they proved me. To test for the reason of acceptance. Now this is what I mean. Can you imagine the heart, the evil heart of unbelief that says, I am not going to believe God unless He proves Himself to me. You know, Thomas made a statement like that. And by God's grace, the Lord revealed Himself to him and showed him. And for every child of God, He does the same. We find ourselves struggling, I know. But God Almighty, for Christ's sake, has shown mercy to us. But if the Lord leaves us to an evil heart of unbelief, that we would question His sovereignty, question His dealings, and put Him to the test, who art thou, Paul says, O man, that repliest against God. Whenever an unbeliever hears of God's sovereign grace. Do you know why they hate that gospel, hate that message of God's sovereignty? Because Almighty God has revealed there's a stony heart there. For those that He's everlastingly loved, He said, I'm going to remove that heart of stone. If He does not remove a heart of stone, He's God. If He removes that heart of stone, He does so in power, in mercy, in grace, and compassion. You that believe, the very thought of questioning His sovereignty, you think, how can I question Him that is so good to me? How can I doubt? To prove Him, to ask or to demand of Him a reason for me to accept His providence. Paul summed it up with this. How can you say, why have you made me thus? A believer can't. Just that thought just can't. It's just not there. He's going to bow to God Almighty. He said, harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day of temptation of the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. I don't care what people say. I don't care if they say it was really the Reed Sea and it was really low tide. Almighty God parted the waters. They walked across, the Scripture says, on dry ground. They ate manna every day. They ate quail. There was a rock that followed them. And they drank from the rock. Fiery serpents were biting them. Moses built a brazen altar. God told him, He said, you lift up that brazen altar, a brazen serpent. And He said, whosoever looks is going to be healed. They'll live. A pillar of a cloud guided them during the day. And it was a pillar of fire. And that pillar of fire moved and they followed it. 40 years. Your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. 40 years. You'd think, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine anybody beholding the wonder and the power and the grace of Almighty God. I can't imagine anybody not bowing to Him with such obvious, that had such obviously manifested Himself. This church has been here over 50 years. 50 years. Almighty God raised up a faithful preacher. And the miracle of God's grace and mercy was manifested in the lives of some people in this community. And God Almighty has called them out of darkness. And He's taught them the glorious gospel of free grace. And men's hearts are hardened against it. Hardened against the God of this Bible. You're going to have to prove more to me, that's what they say, than that. Harden not your heart. Wherefore I was grieved, verse 10, with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. and they have not known my ways. It is the evidence of unbelief to tempt, to prove, to doubt, to rebel against God's Christ. Whenever the Spirit of God says unto us, and we have ears to hear, when He says, harden not your hearts, with that command comes the power that their hearts are not hardened. When they hear the command, harden not your heart, the power and grace and mercy and compassion of God is what keeps them from hardening their hearts. I don't have the power to either not harden it or to keep it from not being hardened. I don't have that power. Salvation's of the Lord. I can apply this word to myself. The Spirit of God can say to me, Marvin, don't harden your heart. And my thought is this, Lord, if you keep me, I'm kept. Lord, if you turn me, I'm turned. Lord, but if you leave me to myself, what am I going to do? You see, this scripture sets forth the marvelous grace of God in keeping His people. You have a heart that's not hard before God? Who gets all the honor for that? He has made us, and not we ourselves. If you can find an ounce of rejoicing, it's because God Almighty has kept you. Those that came out and hardened their hearts, do you think that their hearts were truly hardened? Yes, they were. The Lord said, I was grieved with that generation. They do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. If any of us here don't err in our hearts, you know why we don't? Because He's given us a new heart and kept us. If we don't err in our ways, it's because He by Spirit has led us. Oh, I'm telling you, what great rejoicing we have for the mercy of God Almighty. He would do something for us that we couldn't do. They've not known my ways, not understood my ways. That is, they don't understand the way that I work. That's what it means. They don't know the way I walk. They don't know my means. The secret counsel of Almighty God. That belongs to Him. That which is revealed belongs to us and our children. The Lord, in closing, has revealed His pleasure in His people assembling to worship. Harden not your hearts. I've thought an awful lot about a scripture that I spoke on when I was down in Spring Lake here last week. Paul exhorted the people. He said, continue in the grace of God. I've made mention of this before. I need to hear it again. Continue in the grace of God. Let me tell you, well, first of all, think about this. How am I going to continue in the grace of God unless God Almighty continues me in the grace of God? You see what I'm saying? These are commands. You ever notice how the Lord commands that which is impossible for us to do? How will you believe unless He gives me faith? How will you come when He says, no man can come except my Father? Oh, but if you do, you don't tempt Him You don't tempt Him out of an evil heart. You don't try to prove Him. Let me tell you what you do. You thank Him. You thank Him for His mercy and grace. Continue in the grace of God. I wrote this down. The Lord has revealed His pleasure in His people assembling to worship. And they love to do it. And His people delight in following after Him according to His promise, providence. And to meet with them in secret prayer. When you pray, continue in the grace of God. Make much of hearing the gospel preached. Continue in the grace of God. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Continue in the grace of God when you pray. God's people, don't harden their heart against that, because God Almighty keeps them. So I swear, verse 11, in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now that rest, back in the Old Testament, was actually Canaan. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Canaan is a picture. You say, well, that's a picture of heaven. That's good. That's true. Christ, who is our rest. God's people enter into rest right now. You're resting right now. You're resting now. You're resting in Christ. You're resting in comfort. You're resting in peace. You're resting in love. You're resting in hope, joy. There's a rest for the people of God. And there's an eternal rest. Heaven itself. Canaan, a picture. A rest from our labors. God Almighty said, for those that harden their hearts against Him, against His Christ, against His gospel, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And I'm going to read verse 12, and Lord willing, we'll take this up. And Paul says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I'll leave you with this thought. And we'll take this up next time. No believer that Almighty God has called out of darkness ever departs. They don't. They will not. They cannot. Because we're kept by the power of God. That statement right there is a statement or a standard by which men consider what Almighty God says concerning their stand before Him. They believe Him. And when you find one who claims, who professes to be a believer, and they do not measure up to this book, and can I give you the one measurement? There's one measurement. There's one right here. There's one measurement. Here it is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. Hear Him. When we hear Him, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll hear Him in the gospel. We'll hear the Lord Jesus Christ set forth by His Holy Spirit that Almighty God the Father chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He did so because it pleased Him. And we won't harden our heart against that. We're going to say that electing grace is sovereign grace. They'll hear the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll say, I lay down my life for the sheep. They'll hear Him say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. They'll hear Him say in that high priestly prayer, Father, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those You've given me out of the world. Thine they were, Thou gavest them me. They'll hear Him say, You have given me power over all flesh that I might give eternal life to all that You've given me, to whomsoever I will. And they won't harden their heart against that. They'll hear of irresistible grace. They'll hear of the Spirit of God that blows like the wind and calls God's people. You'll hear the Apostle Paul say, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace and revealed His Son in me. And if you hear, if you have ears to hear, let me tell you something. You don't harden your heart against that. You say, Lord, that's the greatest message I ever heard in my life, because it's an expression of Your heart. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And God's people have a heart that's not hard for Him. They love Him. They love Him who is God Almighty. They bow to Him. This is not a message that causes God's people to doubt. This is a message of God's standard, whereby God Almighty says, this is the way My people are. This is what they believe. This is what they know. This is how they're going to act. They're not going to tempt Me. They're not going to out of evil heart. They're not going to manipulate Me. That's not fair. They're not going to prove Me. They're not going to say, well, you're going to have to show Me something more than that. You think I'm going to believe that just because I found this in a book? God's people do. What saith the Scriptures? Oh, may the Lord be pleased to bless this to our heart. Cause us to be thankful for His indescribable mercy and grace. Harden not your heart, and God's people. Say, Lord, thank You for giving me a new heart. A heart of flesh. Flesh. For Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, dear.